last week we started a new series about relationships, and it was started, we started talking about better together. So we have all the hearts and they're all together, all right? We said peanut butter and jelly is better together. A PBJ sandwich is better together. I told you s'mores, you know, you can have the Hershey chocolate and the marshmallow, but you put all that together, better together. So we're doing a series about relationships and better together. But how many of you know sometimes relationships, even good relationships, can get a little messy? Don't point at anybody, right? But, you know, the interesting thing is I know, and the Word of God will prove it, that they're worth the mess to have a good relationship. So we go through seasons where it gets messy, but you work at it and it gets better. They're worth it, all righty? So last week we I talked to a specific group. Talk to singles, but I kept saying, hey, if you're not single, there's a whole lot you can get out of this. And I had several married couples saying, I know you kept saying this was for single people, but man, that really helped my husband and I. So praise God. I'm going to talk to another group this morning, and don't tune me out if you're not the select, all right? Take notes, and you can always take notes and hand it to somebody else and say, here, you needed this. You weren't here. I love that. I love when they say that. So would you all open up to Genesis? Genesis chapter 2. Praise God. Y'all happy today or something? Okay, let's just check in. All right. Genesis chapter 2. The background on this is God has just created all the animals, all the birds, and Adam is naming them. That's pretty cool, right? So Genesis chapter 2, verse 21, here we go. So the Lord God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord took out one of the man's rib, closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought her to the man. And the man, he says, at last, the man exclaimed. This one is bone from my bone, flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. And I'll read verse 24 in a minute. So what we've got here, Adam says, at last. He exclaims, at last. And in the Hebrew, that is pretty accurate when he says at last. And it actually in the Hebrew, it says he shouted, oh, at last, woman. Okay, so all your guys, look at your wife and go ahead and say it. Oh, that wasn't loud. Shoot, good thing you weren't in the garden. Hallelujah. Or better yet, oh my gosh, woman, right? All right, verse 24. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife and the two are united into one. That last verse 24, most marriage ceremonies use that. Right? Has anybody ever heard that in a marriage ceremony? Praise God. I use it all the time. And so I'm saying a man leaves his wife and they're joined together and the two become one. Now, the best way to describe that joined together in Hebrew is, I'm going to give you a picture because they didn't invent it back then. But the best way the Hebrew would say it is they're super glued. A man and a woman leave their father and mother and they are super glued together. That's what it means in the Hebrew, if I could give you a picture. Super glued. So, if anybody has ever lost a spouse and it is this tearing, and that's why they'll say, oh, my heart hurts. Well, they were super glued for X amount of years, okay? So that's why you'll say that. Praise God. Or how about if someone's ever gone through one of those horrific divorces and they had been super glued together and they go through a horrific divorce and they hurt and you're going, I don't understand. What is with them? They're crying all the time. It's because they were super glued together and they're ripped apart. And that's the way God joined them. And that's the way God's plan was. So praise the Lord. That was my little rabbit trail. Now getting back. Here we go. Today, I want to talk about this. If you're taking notes, write this down. So I want to talk to married couples, and we're going to go over what women want. Ladies, okay. Now, guys, you might be thinking, I have been trying to figure this out for years, okay? Take notes, all righty? We're going to go over four things, and I believe they'll help everybody that's married. I believe they'll help everybody that's single. I believe every man and every woman, okay? So take notes for this. Here we go. So if you're taking notes, because you're all taking notes, you're going to write this down. Four things God wants from men. Four things God wants from men. Ready? God wants maturity. God wants decisiveness. God wants consistency. And God wants strength. If I went too fast, that's okay. I'm going to go over them again. Ready? Now write this down. Four things every woman wants from a man. You ready? Come on, ladies. Women want maturity. Women want decisiveness out of a man. Women want consistency out of their man. And women want strength out of their man. Now write this down. Four things every man struggles with. Maturity. Okay, yeah, look at it. Okay, decisiveness, consistency, and strength. Amen, Pastor D. Good preaching. Hallelujah. And because of those four things, there's a tension between a man, a husband, and a wife. Okay? Now, so interesting. I just read to you Genesis chapter 2. That's right after Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 2, you're reading and going, you're thinking, okay, God made the woman, brought them together. Ah, at last, things are looking pretty good, right? In Genesis chapter 2, you're thinking, man, looking pretty good. Marriage should be pretty good. Wow, and Adam is going, at last, a woman. And he's not looking at the cows anymore. He's not looking at the elephants anymore, right? He's not looking at the zebras anymore. He's looking at woman. Right? Whoa, man. So you're thinking after you read that, wow, everything should be really good, should be really cool, should be awesome. But you get married. And you're like, dear Jesus, please take me home. This is nothing like I thought. Anybody ever have my first year? Gosh, geez, whiz. First year. I was saying that a lot. So here's the deal. Listen to this. Women have something built inside of them that God put. Women have something inside of them that God put in there that they want from the man. I don't know if God put in there. Yes, yes, yes. Hang in there. Women have something built inside of them that God put in them that they want from a man. Okay? Maturity, decisiveness, consistency, and strength they want from a man, okay? So, all you ladies, don't go ranting at your husband by the time you hit the parking lot mailbox. Say, hey, you need these four things, okay? Because listen, and you're thinking, well, I don't need to be mature. I don't need to be decisive. I don't need to be consistent. I don't need to be... It's for all of us, okay? So that's why I say I am talking to married couples, but this is for everybody. Everybody. Raise your hand. You're everybody. Okay? So here we go. Four things. How about if we call them traits? Four traits that every woman wants in a man. I don't care if you're 18 or 108. The ladies, we still want this. Here we go. Now, let me just say this. These four traits, if you don't have them, they can be developed. All right. If you don't have these four traits, you can develop them in your life. All righty. So when we think of maturity, or better yet, we think of immature, we think of a bunch. Please, guys, I love you. I love you. I love you. Ready? We think of a bunch of men that are acting like boys. Right. So when I talk about maturity, it is not about age. It's not about age. You could be 55 and you could be immature acting. Immature in areas of your life. So I am not. Okay, let me also say this. Parents, your job is to take your little boys and help them grow up to be men. Maturity, decisiveness, consistency, and strength. So if you're a parent, just, you know, you got it all together. Write this down for your sons. Ready? All right. And so your ladies are going, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, let me read this to you. Ed Cole wrote, anybody know who Ed Cole is? Is he still alive? Ah, okay. He's a great guy. Wrote a lot of great books. Strong Christian, just life change in his life. But he wrote this. Women dream of men in the ideal, but marry the real. Man, you got it. All right. So do I have to explain this? Ladies dream of men in knight in shining armors, right? Okay. And I have to tell you this. Hollywood, I like Hollywood. I go to movies and stuff like that. But Hollywood has painted a picture and it's not real. Right? You go to these movies and you think they're all, I don't know who your hero is, Brad Pitt or whatever. I keep telling Sherry, I don't think he's cute. I don't know what you think. I don't think it. I'm more like the George Clooney because he's older, okay? But anyway, listen, Hollywood, the way they portray men, that's not real. It's just not the way it is, okay? As a matter of fact, over the years, I've heard ladies say this, and really, they got this from, I can even name the movies, but here we go. Ladies will say to me, Pastor D, I'm searching for my soulmate. Oh, and I went to Starbucks, and I met him. Oh, gosh, he walked in, and he smiled at me. Oh, my gosh, I felt this connection. I met my soulmate. Okay? And you're both married to somebody else. And you just met your soulmate at Starbucks? God. First of all, you shouldn't have eyes doing that. Second of all, let me tell you this. This is the mom and me. The day you walk down the aisle, the day you say I do to that husband or wife is the day you have met your soulmate. And you are joined, super glued together. All right, so I love these ladies. But Pastor D, we were so young. I didn't know anything when I met him, my husband. And I walked into Starbucks, and we had this connection. It was like stars and fireworks. And I swear he had a halo around his head. Yeah, go marry him, and I'll tell you it's not true, right? Okay. The ladies get this today, okay? Men, I'll give you a few minutes. Just make your voice go high, and you can agree with them. All right, here we go. Okay, soulmate. Soulmates, praise God. Soulmates are when you get married. Soulmates are when you grow together. Soulmates are when you experience life together. And I love when I talk to people. I've got this one lady. Her husband, since has gone home to be the Lord, they got married. She had just finished high school, and she was only 17. He had joined the services, came back, threw her on a train, got married. So they were like 17 and 19. And I, you know what she said? We were both pretty young. I used to say young and dumb, and Sherry says I shouldn't say that. Young and naive, okay? And she says, but we grew together. We grow together. So I love, no, I don't love it this year, but okay. Praise God. Moving right on. Let me give you four things that women want in a man. Number one, maturity. Y'all got that. Maturity. Maturity. So again, it's not by your age. Hallelujah. You can be 45 years old and you're still acting like a little boy. So what is maturity? What is maturity? Write this down. This is a quote, and I don't know where I got it, so it's now anonymous, okay? Yeah, I read these things, you know, for like a couple months ahead of time, and I write these down and forget to who I got it. So, maturity is when you stop making excuses and you start making changes. That's good for women, and that's for good for guys, all right? So, but I will tell you, every woman craves a relationship with a man where they stop making excuses and they start making changes in their life. That's what they want. Praise God. It's so interesting when I hear people that that just make excuses for their lives. And I'm like, would you grow up, you big baby? I say that with a smile, all right? I really hate this. When someone comes up and they go, oh, Pastor D, I found somebody so much, this young thing. It's usually guys, I'm sorry. I found this young lady, and she's so naive. Like, that's a compliment, okay? And she's so immature. I want to marry her. You know, they go, cougars go after young things. Okay, so ladies do the same thing. You know what you're telling me? I read it this way. I want somebody who's so immature, doesn't know nothing because I'm so mature. I'm like, you're going to get old, tired of that. All right, so maturity, maturity. Praise the Lord. Let me get myself out of this and keep moving along. Kerry Newhoff is a gentleman I've been following. Somehow I got on his newsletter probably about 4 years ago. And he lives up in Canada. He's an awesome pastor. He loves to help pastors. And whenever he writes his newsletters, they're things that help pastors. So I'm reading them all the time. And I'm going to quote him. He said, "Christian maturity is not marked by how much we know." You know, some people think, well, I can quote the Bible. Or I've studied this and I've studied that. So they're saying this, isn't marked by how much we know or what we get. Christian maturity is marked by how much we love and how much we give in the light of how deeply we have loved, been loved, okay? So people who walk around and think, well, I'm so mature, you know, look at all the degrees on my wall. I go to every service and seminar and I have this, this, and this. Wrong. You got it totally backwards. You're not mature, right? You're not mature. It's how much you love and how much love has deeply affected you that you start giving love. So that's maturity. Now, under maturity, I'm going to give you two things. Two things that if you are going to be a mature person, you will have these flowing in your life. Oh, that's so Christianese. Okay. I'll think of a word. You'll have these present in your life. If you want to be a mature person, you will have these two things. Number one, write down values. And number two, principles. If you think you're going to be a mature person, if you want to be a mature person, you have to have these two things. Ready? A set of values. A set of values. And here's what values are. Values are those things that you consider most important in life. Probably about 3 years ago, we had David Fleming here. Anybody remember David Fleming? I actually taught him when he was in second grade. And I always tell this story. He was brilliant in second grade, and I was intimidated. And I was his teacher. He's just brilliant. And Sherry and I met with him afterwards. We went out to lunch, just had a great time after he spoke here. And he was just getting married. No, he had just gotten married. Is that what it was? Because he would say, 600 hours and 55 seconds I've been married. Remember that? Something like that. But he said he went through marriage counseling, and the counselor said, you need to write down your, everybody hear this before, core values. Those are the things that you will stand for, and you are not going to be budged off of. All right. So if you are going to be this mature person, you have to have values. And it was interesting. I said, David, well, tell me what do you mean core values? What are your core values that you said? And he said he sat down and he said to his future wife, or they were married then. I can't remember what it was. He says, my core value is that I will serve the Lord and I will attend church and serve in church. We will always go to church. Church. And I thought, oh, that's a good core value. Oh, I like that. Write that one down. So you have to think about your core values. What are those things that I like to say, come hell or high water, you're not going to get knocked over. It's those things, you know, that you feel so strongly that you would even die for. Okay? Let me give you this. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said this. If a man doesn't have something to die for, he has nothing to live for. Now put a value, core value with that, right? That's powerful. So we should all have some things that we stand for, that we value, that is just, this is it, all right? Such as, how about this? You stand for Jesus, right? I am a Christian. I stand for Jesus. And let's say United States gets taken over by whatever group, and they come knocking at your door and they put a gun to your head and they say, if you deny Jesus, then I'll let you live. My core value is, go ahead, buddy. I don't care. I'm going to heaven. It's my core value. I will not deny the Lord Jesus, all right? So that should be. So if you're thinking, core value, Jesus. Okay, write that one. Now you have one. And number two, church, because, you know, I'm the pastor, all right? Core values. Ready? Okay, the second thing, if you're going to be a mature person, a mature man, a mature lady, the second thing you need to have is principles. Principles. And, you know, they're kind of similar, but you have to look. So let me give you a definition. Principles are a set of moral rules that help you determine what is right and what is wrong. Principles are what guide you through your daily life. You could say, this other quote I got, principles help define the things you should add to your life, like an asset. Everybody like assets? Oh, I love them. All right. And principles are the things that you should subtract. You know, if you have principles, you know what to subtract from your life. Case in point. You might have a person in your life, not your husband, not your wife, not your kids. So let me say that before I start, that you might have a person in your life who is not an asset to your friendship. Like they're detrimental. They're a liability. You might have people like that in your life, and it's time to back away from that friendship because they just lead you down the toilet, right? Okay, so you get it? Principles. Now, when I said principles are a set of moral rules, some of you are like, I'm not under the law. I don't have to follow any rules. Oh, yes, you do. Come on. God has rules. This is what this Bible is. They're rules that you should apply to your life and live, because God said they'll bless you. They'll make you your life an abundant life. So, yes, we have rules that we follow. Praise the Lord. Even though some people are trying to wipe them out. All righty. All right, let's move on. Number two. What's number two? Every woman wants in a man. Number two. Yes, decisiveness. Now, how many of you know when you got married, man, there were all these decisions. How many of you know if you're single, there's all these decisions. I mean, you just rolled out of bed today. There were decisions to make, right? Anybody have any decisions you had to make? You made a decision to come here. Yay. Good. Right. Now, some of you think, you know, oh my gosh, should I buy a house? Shouldn't I buy a house? Should we rent? I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't rent. Should we have kids now? Should we wait 10 years? I don't know. There's decisions. There's decisions that we make every day, sometimes every minute of the day, right? Lots of them. And I have to remember, back when Jack and I got married, he was 20, I was 23, he married an older woman. And as soon as we got married, got back from a honeymoon, we were packing up all the furniture we could scrape out of Phil and Ruth's attic. The only thing we bought was a bed, of course. Okay. And we're moving up to Penn State. Because you know what? We are just so young and innocent, and we can do anything, and we're just going to get jobs as soon as we get up there. And then a year and a half later, we pack up we left our furniture back in the attic, all right? And we pack up our Honda with this carrier on top, and we move to Tulsa, and we're gonna find a furnished apartment because we can do anything, all right? And then we're gonna get jobs right away. You know, we were just young and innocent and naive. We had God. We could do anything. You know what? I'd rather take a truckload of that than people who are indecisive and never make a decision to do anything, right? Now, we had a few bumps in the road for some of ours. We're going to do this. But you know what? Most of them turned out good. So how many of you, God's been dealing with you for years to do certain things? Like, you know, I'm going to say this. Start a grow group at your house for 10 weeks in 1 year. Or God's been dealing with you to join and help out in a ministry like Harvest of Blessings. Or God's been speaking to you to go into the prison ministry. Or God's been speaking to you to go on a mission trip. But you procrastinate. Well, you know, I don't know if I should do it or shouldn't I do it. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe this will happen or that will happen. Maybe nobody will show up. And you don't do anything. That's called procrastination and / indecisiveness, all righty? So, but what would happen if you went and did the thing that God's put on your heart? What would happen if you did it and you just got your socks blessed off? What would happen if you did and you started touching lives? What would happen if you would have done it 20 years ago and you would have had all these great things in your life? But we procrastinate and we become indecisive. So, decisiveness. Praise the Lord. Let me give you a definition. Decisiveness. Ready? Decisiveness. Having the ability or power to make a quality decision quickly and effectively. I like this definition. Decisiveness is insight in action. All right? That's the ability to know what's right. And just important, it's the willingness to do what's right. Praise the Lord. How many of you would agree that decisive people make great leaders? They see what's right to do and they jump on it, right? Not, well, okay, let me tell you the story. What was I watching? I was watching the news because somewhere in California, you know, they're having rain and snow and this dam, not the big Hoover Dam, that's in Arizona. Where's that? Nevada, it's close. Okay, but this is in California. So this dam is starting to crumble because they've had so much rain. And they're dropping, airlifting these big sandbags. It was like as big, wide as the sanctuary, they're dropping sandbags so this whole dam just doesn't crumble and flood out the town. Interesting. 10 years early, the council met and they said, well, you know, maybe, procrastinated. Didn't fix it. Yeah. All right. That's not good, procrastinating. All righty. Praise the Lord. Guys, we live in a time, just turn on the TV and watch everybody's poor decision, things that they do in life. The TV loves to tell you all the bad things that happen. It's just because they made poor decisions. So-and-so ran over this, shot this, did something bad, all right? So what do we do? Okay, Pastor D, that's all the negative. Now, what do we do? What do we do in our life? What should we do? Well, number one, you need to get some values in your life. Number two, you need to get those principles in your life. And number three, you need to start making good decisions that will cause you to have the blessings and a good life and a good hope in the future in your life. So that's what you do, right? That's what you should be doing. And listen, can I tell you, I have made some wrong decisions in my life. Anybody ever make some wrong decisions? We're all going to make wrong decisions. Yep, I've made some doozies, okay? But listen, just decide, as the thing comes up or the choice or something's happening, I'm going to jump on it. Let me tell you a story. I've started going to my hairdresser, oh my gosh, 6-7 years ago. She's adorable. And I don't get my nails done. I don't drink anymore. I don't do cuss anymore. Try not to cuss anymore. But I go and I pay good money to have my hair done, to get it colored. So y'all know. All right. So I'm in there with Rebecca. And after a whole year, I noticed she holds her hair dryer not by the handle. Do y'all know what a hair dryer is, right? So you're like, she holds her hair dryer not by the handle. She holds it by, would you call that the nozzle? That was 2 days I'm thinking, what would you call that thing? She holds it by the nozzle when she dries her hair. So she takes the brush and she pulls it out and she holds it like this. I go, what are you doing? Took me a year or two to figure it out. She goes, well, that's the way I was trained. The big salon that she went to school for, she worked for, had a salon for, that's how they train their people. And I go, Rebecca, why don't we, better yet, why don't you go contact somebody to make one without a handle? Come on. You got a whole school that trained their people to hold it like this, not by the handle. And she's like, oh, D. I said, listen, girl, go get it patented. Go get it made. And then send your ties to YCF. Yep. And I was on her. It takes a while. So your color, I'm there for 2 hours and stuff. And I go, Rebecca, this is a God idea. Listen, this isn't me. I would never think of that. You need to go get this invention made and do this and that. 2 years go by. I'm back at the hair salon. I go every 4 weeks, not 2 years. Okay. And I walk in and she whips out her cell phone and she goes, ping. Shows me a picture. Somebody invented the hair dryer without the handle. I go, shut up, girl. I can't believe it. You didn't do it. Man. Indecisive procrastination. That was a God idea. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a good story. Okay, Pastor D. Hallelujah. I have a friend, and we've been friends for, oh my gosh, 20 years, and her middle name is indecisiveness. That's her middle name. Honest to goodness, I'm not frustrated anymore. I'm praying, but she will decide to do something. And then before she does the something that she just decided to do, before she does that, she'll call me on the phone. D, what do you think about this? Should I do this? And she calls 12 other people and asks the same thing. Now, you know, 12 other people most likely are not going to agree with her. All right, guys, God's putting things on your heart. He's speaking to you to do some things. Listen, he who lives the spirit of who lives inside of us? The spirit of God lives in us. The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of might lives in us. So I think God would trust you to hear his voice. Start learning how to hear his voice. And then go do it, right? Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't get wise counsel, all right? When I've got some biggie things in my life, I will ask usually two or three people that I know that are smarter than me, all right? But I'm talking about God's putting on your heart to make a decision. Go do something or don't do something, right? Like just obey God, do it. You don't have to procrastinate. Praise the Lord. And listen, all you that are married, let's say the husband, God's just been talking to you and you know, oh man, I need to do this. So what you should do is you go to your wife and you say, hey, honey, God's just been really talking to me about this, this, and this. And you guys get quiet and you pray together about this and you get an agreement about this. And then your wife is the best cheerleader. Yay, baby, go do it. Go do it. Okay, we don't tear them down. That's the dumbest thing. Okay, now there was two decisions that I knew that we weren't supposed to do. Jack was like, we're not supposed to. And he went and did it. And then I could have said, I told you so. But for the most part, when we had big things, especially with money, we always got an agreement what we were going to do. Okay, that's my golden nugget. Write it down. Praise the Lord. All right. Gee whiz, where am I going to do this? Okay, here we go. Number three, here we go. Four things God wants, four things women want, and four things men struggle with. Number three, consistency. Okay. Consistency, write this down. Character is a simple habit, long continued. Character is a simple habit, long continued. Okay. So we're talking about consistency. Now, most women, this is the one thing they complain, and I've read a bunch of surveys. They all say this. Guess what women complain about their husbands? They want them to be consistent. They want them to be consistent individuals, okay? Consistency. So, how many of you know consistency you have to work at? You have to work at being consistent. I do. It is just not my natural flow. I have to go, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. One of my dear friends, her husband used to be a bodybuilder when he was younger. And if you took off his shirt, I didn't take off his shirt, okay, guys. You would see the muscles, okay? But if he was wearing a pair of shorts, we would call them crane legs, right? So the new year was starting, and she was telling me this. We were chuckling. She said, you know, her husband's decided that he's, you know, and he's been bodybuilding again. Okay, he's gotten back into that. But he decided he was going to work on the crane legs, right? He was going to have these, you know, because it looks kind of funny. So I didn't tell him that. So he was saying, you know, he works out three times a week, and he walks down his basement. He's got this full weightlifting thingamajig and all those things down there. And he says, every time I walk down those stairs, something is saying, nah, you don't want to do it. Okay, you know why? Because consistency starts, the battle is with your thoughts. Being consistent is a battle that starts with your thoughts, right? So you have to say, shut up. Going downstairs, I'm going to do squats, right? Consistency starts the battles with your thoughts. And they're always telling you, don't do it, don't do it. But you've got to be, okay, I'm going to be consistent. I am not going to listen to that thought. Praise God. Now, has anybody ever decided they were going to change the way they eat? Usually in the new year we start this. Anybody? Right? How many of you found out you needed to be consistent to make it to February? Right? Yeah, you have to be consistent. It doesn't just... I don't know. I've never had it just, it's a piece of cake. I had to be consistent, all righty? So why am I telling you that? The same thing applies to spiritual things. Same thing, same principle, consistent applies with spiritual things, such as if you're not going to read your Bible every day, you're not going to have any life-changing things in your life. Oh, Pastor D, you're being so legalistic, telling us, no, listen, I know Jesus died on the cross and redeemed me from the curse of the law. I don't have to be under the law. But listen, you know, we've been talking about soaping. You get a Bible every day. you get a scripture, observation, application, and prayer. You do read your Bible every day. You soap up, we say. Guess what? I guarantee your life will change. If you are in the Word of God every day, your life, and you apply it, just don't read it and let it float in and out. Okay, you start applying it, it will change your life. So, consistency. You start being consistent in that. Write this down. D.L. Moody said this. You know, I've heard this a lot of times, and I didn't know it was D.L. Moody, so I don't know why people stole it and didn't say. But D.L. Moody said this. Character is what you are or what you do in the dark. Character is what you are or what you do in the dark. Okay, so when you're consistent reading your Bible, you're consistent praying, you're going to have these changes actually in your character. Yeah, my character is getting better by the minute. Well, by the years, really, all right? Now, in the dark doesn't mean you turn off the lights. It's not talking about that, okay? It says what you do in the dark is when no one's watching. So all of you people that travel for business and you're you know sent to hotels, it's what you do when you're all alone. That tells about your character, right? And you think nobody's watching, but God, you're not alone, really, right? You're not alone. But character is what you do. What you are, or what you do in the dark. So, if you want to build character, you're going to have some consistency in your life. You're going to have consistency. And I'm working on a whole bunch of those areas. Oh, my gosh. Okay, but doing it. Here we go. Number four, last one. Okay, so four things that God wants, four things women want, and four things men struggle. The last one is strength. Last one, strength. There's a gentleman, he's in Brooklyn, New York. His name is A.R. Bernard. Fabulous church, has written tons of books. You can look him up later. And he wrote this. Today's women deeply desire the strength of character more than the strength of a body. No longer does Jane need Tarzan. Now, I'm so young. I grew up on the black and white Tarzan. Oh, is that Johnny Weissmuller? Right? Anybody remember him? Yeah! See, all you young things out there. Okay. And he was handsome and he was muscular and he's wearing this little thingy. You know, golly gee whiz. He was also an Olympic swimmer and whatnot. But listen, so what A.R. Bernard is saying is, if you're here and you're a woman and you're saying, I want that Tarzan, but, you know, I'm just going to overlook that he doesn't have a job, doesn't interest in working. Or, you know, he might have that decent bod, but you know what? I'm just going to overlook that he doesn't have any maturity in his life. He is not consistent in one thing, not even brushing his teeth in the morning. Okay? All right? And so you're saying, you know, I want that, but I'm going to overlook these four traits. All right? Because he has a bod. All right. Now, in case you are just so young, and all of us older ones will tell you, you're going to grow up, and that body just doesn't look like that anymore. Flabby, saggy, fat, bald, whatever, okay? So, if you're going to marry the guy with the bod, and you're going to skip all the stuff that actually will help you have a strong marriage, to go through all the things that happen in life, but you're going to chuck that away because you want a bod? Come on. It's just ridiculous. A.R. Bernard also said women, so he's basically saying, really, women don't care how many bench presses you can do. Doesn't care that if you got a V or a six-pack, they don't care, all right? You know what they care about? Women, we care about how you treat us, how kind you are to us, right? More than the way you look. My son has a friend. Okay, change the names. And he's married. He is ugly as a dog. I've known him since he was 14. He always had the hottest girls. I go, Jess, what's with this? Sorry. And then I got to know the friend, which I'm not going to say. He is so kind. He is so interactive with everybody he meets. He genuinely cares. He brings you in, asks you. He's so nice. And he married this babe. I still go. Just about a month ago, they pulled up to pick up Jesse, and I'm going, man, he's still ugly. I can't believe it. Okay, so in closing, all of us, I can't even, okay. All of us need to, I better read this because I'm just left. All of us need to develop spiritual strength versus physical strength. And yet, you know, bodily exercise profiteth little. But you know, you need to do a little. You need to take care of these bodies. These bodies are the temple of God. Amen? But there's something about spiritual strength. Spiritual strength that is more, much more attractive to women. Amen. I'm going to close by reading a couple of quotes to you, and then we're just going to pray in here. So here we go. Self-discipline is an acquired asset. Self-discipline is an acquired asset. So if you don't got it, you can learn it. If God didn't gift you with self-discipline, and I am not, you can develop that in your life. You can make choices, okay? Next quote, a man's strength is demonstrated by his gentleness and kindness. A man's strength is demonstrated by his, that's that guy friend of Jesse, okay? And I'll give you a scripture for that. Write down Proverbs 19:22. Proverbs 19:22 says it. A man's kindness makes him attractive. It does, all right? Here's another quote. Strength. The kind of strength that really matters is the courage to live out your convictions despite what the crowd is doing. That's strength. That's good for everybody. I don't care how old you are. Amen? I watched A.R. Bernard on a YouTube because I wasn't able to go to the seminar because I wasn't invited. It was for men only. Okay? And in his message, he says this to guys everywhere. Your strength, gentlemen, is not demonstrated by your macho attitude or your abusive language or your physical actions or your angry outbursts. But that's not strength. That's insecurity masqueraded as strength. He said, that's not strength. That's your insecurity masquerading as strength. Wow. That's a kick in the pants. I grew up in a home that my parents were not born again. I saw a Bible. I never saw anybody read it. Okay. But my dad, I remember this. I'm one of six. Johnny and I are the oldest. I have a twin brother. And then 4 years. I can't remember. I think Patrick's 4 years younger. And there's four girls, two boys in between here. And I remember my dad walking in one day. And he was fired up. And he grabs my two brothers. And he said, if I ever see you lay a hand on your mother, your sister, or a woman, you'll be laying on the ground looking up. So I wasn't supposed to hear that conversation. Okay? You know? So, you know, guys that go to, when they don't hit them, but they go, you better do this. Man, my dad would have clubbed you, okay? This is a man, never set foot in a church. I would say he had some principles, don't you think? All right? So, what do Christian men ought not to do, right? Okay, let me give you one more quote, make you smile. Here we go. If you're going to be self-controlled in your speech, you must be self-controlled in your thinking. So what do you have to reprogram? This has to get reprogrammed. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever you're thinking on, if you got junk up there, it's going to come out. So that's why I say, listen, soap up every day. Get in the Word every good day. Read what God says. Go through Proverbs if you're just beginning, okay? So get yourself, get your brain thinking the way God thinks, and your character, your self-control will follow. Your words will get better. Your actions will get better. Amen? Now, how many of you have ever heard, because we don't say this, oh, it was just a little white lie? Anybody ever hear somebody say that? It's just, since when do we color them? I was like, you know, silly thoughts. I'm lying in bed going, a white one. Why not a purple one? Okay. So someone says, you know, it's just a little white lie. Listen to what C.S. Lewis says. A little white lie, he didn't say white, a little lie is like a little pregnancy. It doesn't take long before everyone knows. Okay. That was good. That was funny. Hallelujah. A little lie is like a little pregnancy. It doesn't take long before everybody knows. So if you're here this morning and you're, and listen, life is, walking your life out with Jesus is this adventure, journey, okay? And you may have just heard these four traits and you think, man, I am such a loser. I don't even have one going for me. That's okay. Or maybe you're dating someone and they are like super immature. That's okay. Especially when you're 18, 19. I was so immature. I could just tell you stupid things I did. You grow. Give a kind of a break. Maturity grows. Okay. Look at me now. So much more mature. Okay. Praise the Lord. Or maybe you're, how about this? Maybe you're married to somebody and they didn't get one of those things. What do? You better straighten up. I'll give you 30 days, buddy, or you're out. That's it. All right. No, open up to 1 Peter 4:8. No, we're not going to do that. Okay, what do? 1 Peter 4:8. What do? And you know, we're talking about married people, one or the other, but you know, even about yourself. What do when you're going, man, I just really didn't do so good here. What do? 1 Peter 4:8. This is out of the New Living. It says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, right? For love covers a multitude of sins. Did you see that S on the back of that? All right. It says love covers. It doesn't say love exposes. Doesn't. Okay. Okay. So ladies, you know, when you're going out with the girls and you're sitting there talking about your husband, you go, he's the most immature baby. I can't believe that. He's not even consistent to put new toilet paper rolls back on. Never. I can't believe it. He can't decide one thing or the other. Okay. You are exposing. And this scripture says we're not exposing. Love covers. Okay. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. So, multitude means a whole bunch. So maybe that person you're married to has a whole bunch. And it says love covers a whole bunch, right, of sins. Okay, and sin is simply missing the mark. So how many of you ever gone target shooting with arrows or guns, right? I've done the arrow thing. How many of you have pulled back the arrow and you missed the target? Okay, funny story. Jack set Joy and I up in free stands. It's archery season. Love archery season because it's not freezing cold. Okay? So we got Joy and I, and we're in two trees right next to each other, and we're talking. It's supposed to be quiet. Jack's hunting the other side of the mountain. And next thing I know, like a bunch load of deer come. Bunches of them. So we get our arrows out. Bing, miss. Bing, miss. Under the deer, over the deer, tree, the tree, the tree. Okay. We shot up all our arrows. We are laughing. Because you must be consistent in practicing. Not, okay? So listen, God has targets in our life. And have you ever missed the target? Tree, you hit the tree, the tree's over here, okay? And God has covered all of your sins. He doesn't remember them. He doesn't hold them against you. Don't you think that you can cover one another's, your spouse, your girlfriend, me, okay? Cover them, right? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to cover them, all righty? And we don't expose them. Now, this is in my notes, but does that mean you watch over and over and over these things that are going along? They're immature. They're inconsistent. They're indecisive, and they are just weak. Okay, do you let that in the life, in the life? No, you sit down at the proper time, you start praying, and then you start talking about it. Okay, you start talking about it. And I will give you a secret. Always talk about yourself first. Just makes it so easier before you go tell the other person all their things. Okay, start about you. You know, honey, you know, I've been really struggling in this area. What do you think? And they'll go, yeah, yeah, babe, you know, da, da, da. And I said, and by the way, all right, just my little, all righty. So what does love do? Love covers each other, doesn't expose. So here's your homework for the week. Get your pencils out, because we are doers of the word, right? We're going to be doers of the word. Here we go. Your assignment for the week, just work on this. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do to become mature? Think about your values. Think about principles in your life, all right? What can I do to be decisive? I'm working on that one. What can I do to become consistent? What can I do to have more strength spiritually? All right? So those are your homework. What can I do to become more mature, decisive, consistent, and strong? Okay? By the way, just because you heard this fabulous message today and you walk out of here, doesn't mean you're going to have anything happen. There's not going to be any change in your life. I wish it. I pray it. God, supernaturally. Okay. No, no, no. You're going to have to apply some work to the things you heard. Okay? You're just going to have to. And you know what's so good? I think I heard Joyce Meyer say this years. She said, God loves you so much that he doesn't tell you every single one of your mess ups, boo-boos, and dumb things you do. It's like this sweater I have. He just picks one of those fuzz balls off and he goes, let's work on this one. Okay? And then maybe a couple days later, God will go, there's another fuzzy ball on your sweater. Let's work on this one. Okay? That's how much God loves you. Because you'd freak out if God showed you all the things. Okay? I only gave you four. Praise the Lord. So, praise the Lord. Maturity comes because you're going to work at it. Decisiveness comes because you're going to work at it. Consistency comes because you're going to work and work and work at it. And strength comes because you're going to work at being spiritually strong. Such as tomorrow morning, get up. If you haven't done this in a long time, don't raise your hand. Get up, grab your Bible, sit down and read it. And then Tuesday, get up in the morning, grab your Bible, and sit down and read it. And Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and do that for a whole month and be consistent. I'm guaranteeing you'll have change in your life. It is the Word of God that transforms you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Did that help anybody? Just say yes anyway. All right. Hey,